Hey everyone, Aaron here from the Plant Based Coach. And in this new episode of the Plant Based Podcast, we're doing something a little different. So last Wednesday, I mean, of course, it depends when you're listening to this, but early January, I was invited to be on a panel entitled Where Do You Get Your Protein From? And this was hosted by the Green Grill, and there was other panelists, including vegan strength and conditioning coach and Commonwealth champion Sophia, and bikini model Tori from Vivo Life. And we basically recorded this panel, and that is what you'll be listening to for the next hour on this podcast episode. So please do let me know if you enjoy it. Let me know if you guys have questions once you've watched it. There was a Q&A at the end. Hopefully you can hear what the audience were asking and you can kind of get a result from the questions there. So enjoy and let me know how you get on.
I'm going to do a couple of introductions. So my name is Saskia, I work for the Green Grill, and I kind of work within their marketing. And then we have the wonderful Sophia, who is the UK and European champion?
British and Commonwealth
powerlifting champion, which is, can we get a woo for that please? Harry,
And we also have
a broken mic. I'll just hold it. And we also have Aaron, who is a PT and qualified nutritionist.
If you'd like to just introduce yourselves and what you do really quickly.
All right, hey guys. So I'm Aaron. I work in London as a PT and nutritionist as well. Is this one still working? Yes. And I guess my specialty is working with people that are trying to transform on a plant-based diet. So you're already plant-based and now you want to thrive. And I guess having the background of a sports science degree and a nutrition degree helps me do that in the correct way rather than, I suppose, the bro science way, I'd say. Yeah.
Nice. Hey guys, I'm Sophia. So I'm a powerlifter for Great Britain and England. And I'm also a strength coach as well, based in London. So I coach, I'm the assistant England coach, as well as just coaching anyone from beginners to elite athletes, just to get them either just strong as fuck or... are we allowed to swear?
Strong as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Or just, if they just want to get into the gym, it's... Yeah, so I do that as my main job as well, so coaching.
Amazing. Can everyone hear at the back as well? Is it loud enough? Banging. Great, so I'm going to get cracking with a few questions, and then once we've done that, we'll put any questions to the audience. If you do have any burning questions, any of our panellists, do hold on to those. So first of all, I think one of the big things, and it's also in the media, and it drives me insane when people ask me, but there seems to be a bit of a worry with a lot of people that vegans aren't getting enough protein. So I basically wanted to ask you guys what you think about that as a concept, and where are you getting your protein as well, if you're getting any?
So I think that it's actually a massive misconception around protein, and mainly what it's come from is supplement companies pushing their protein supplements and saying that we need all this protein, when actually it's really difficult to be protein deficient unless you're malnourished. So if you're eating the right amount of calories and nutrient dense foods that you should be, then your protein intake should not be a problem. Like we were discussing this earlier, actually, both of us don't even track what we're eating and we both seem to be doing just fine. So I think really it's just a whole thing that's been built up in the fitness industry and just, very over, complicated as well. In terms of where I get my protein, literally pretty much every plant-based food has some sort of protein like in it. But I'm mainly from homemade seitan, tempeh, legumes, like such a mix of whole foods that I don't just specifically like just fake meats or just this. Like, I have such a wild range of, whole foods, basically.
So I guess to echo what Sophia's saying, I mean, everybody in this room, or at least most of you, are probably vegan, and I think you're still looking pretty healthy and pretty alive, so I would say you probably don't have an issue with protein. But I do understand for new vegans where that fear or that, I guess, idea comes from, because, you know, I was that same guy when I was growing up. I thought protein shakes, eggs, salmon, chicken, that's how I'm going to get muscles. And when I transitioned to a plant-based diet, that was my biggest fear, is I thought I would lose muscle or strength or anything like that, and I didn't. So I can get where it's, people are coming from, but at the same time, it is a trial and error process. And, you know, we can talk about absorption rates, bioavailability, amino acid composition of animal foods, plant-based foods, but at the end of the day, if you're getting enough calories, like Sophia said, you're going to be fine. You're probably going to get, I put my own food into, like a very basic version, my own food into Chronometer, which is like an app that you can track your food. And all my BCAAs, I had double of everything without even trying. So I think, yeah, the next question is, am I getting enough protein? And then, am I getting enough of the right amino acids? And the answer is yes, unless you've got some sort of gut issue and you can't absorb certain things. But for 99% of the population, I think you're okay. And where I get it from is, yeah, whole foods. So I think the only thing that I would probably have that's not a whole food is straight after a workout, I'll have a protein shake, which is just because I feel good having that. And it's mainly because there's banana in it and it brings up my blood sugar. But other than that, whole foods, plant-based whole foods, same as probably most people here.
Thank you. So what something you just said actually leads me on to my next question. When you initially transitioned to a plant-based diet, first of all, how long ago was that? And did you have any differences in, kind of, I'd say, like maybe your strength, or were you having to work out more in order to gain muscle? Especially, obviously, as a powerlifter, is that something you really felt like you were having to really pick up, or?
So my kind of like journey's been a bit of a strange one. Not strange, it's just a bit crazy. So I've been vegan now for like 8 years, so it's been pretty long, like the OG vegan. When we had to bring around like little cartons of soy milk with us just to have a coffee. But yeah. So when I actually was first vegan, I had a severe eating disorder, so I had anorexia and bulimia. So I was very malnourished anyway, so I didn't really do very well in terms of like a vegan diet. But then I started powerlifting 2 years ago, and I actually found that alongside resistance training, I wanted to get stronger, obviously, that came with sorting out my diet. And then I built a better relationship with food, with the training as well. So I actually learned way more about nutrition, etc., within the last few years in terms of alongside my training. And I found like, because I used to be a semi-pro footballer before I was vegan, and I did find that my recovery time and energy levels did improve massively in if I was comparing it to when I was a meat eater and in my football days. In terms of building muscle, like I came from being very skinny to then building muscle on a vegan diet. So I was vegan when I was skinny and then when I was like now. So I've done pretty well considering like I didn't really need to change much apart from eating more and just being more conscious of the food that I'm eating and just looking after my body and accepting my body more. I think it was more for me a change of mindset than anything else, and with that change of mindset came better eating habits, better ways of looking after myself, etc.
I can hardly remember the question. So for me, when I transitioned to a plant-based diet, to vegan diet, I actually did it out of convenience, which I know seems the opposite of what most people do because they find it quite inconvenient. But at the time, I was living in Shoreditch, which is probably like vegan central, East London. And my partner was cooking vegan food every night, and I was like, no, I need to cook my protein to gain muscle. And then after probably like 2 weeks, I was like, this is too hard. So I'm going to just try going vegan for first month.
Just going to get the free meals.
Exactly. And to be honest, I didn't notice any difference. Like I felt that because I was probably having quite a plant predominant diet already, I didn't really notice any like energy level increase, but no decrease either. Same with my training, like nothing really changed. And that was because at the time it was an experiment, I was kind of like, let's see if I can do this vegan thing, just why not? At the time, that's when I went through the whole animal welfare, environmental side of things, and was like, you know what, if I can feel this way, exactly the same as I did before, but not contribute to all those negative things, then why not stay this way? And that was kind of like the beginning. So, and since then, yeah, I don't think I've probably don't get as sore as I used to, but that could be to so many other things. But no, I think it was pretty much like, yeah, made the decision, did it, and then, yeah, just stayed pretty much the same and just kept growing. And, yeah.
Lovely. Well, that's great news. So that the other kind of question about that is, I know you guys eat a lot of whole foods, but kind of what does that really mean? What could you give us an example of your kind of like day in the life food diary? Because like, you know, there's a lot of different conflicting things out there on the internet, especially about like how often you should be eating and what kind of things you should be eating. Like, I know everybody is different, but what things work for you guys personally in terms of specific foods?
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's my turn this time. So yeah, for me, my I guess average Monday to Friday kind of day would be, because I usually have clients 7 a.m. in the morning, so I wouldn't eat anything before, and that's just because I want to have a little bit of a lion. So as soon as I finish with clients, I will have whole grain oats with natural peanut butter, chia seeds, linseeds, banana, something like that. Then I would do my workout, so that would be like my fuel for my workout. I have a coffee before that. And then post-workout, I would do the shake, go home, make my lunch, which would probably be like, today I had like a pretty massive falafel wrap, which had like 20 different kinds of veggies in it. And then other than that, I would probably have maybe like a bean or corn or something. When I say corn, I don't mean the mock meat corn, I mean actually the real corn. and
like tinned or like solid?
Not on the cob, no.
Solid.
And then I'd have whatever I had the night before, so it'd be like leftovers, and then an afternoon coffee, maybe rice cakes, a vegan biscuit, a cookie if I feel like it, and then dinner. So that dinner could be curries, lentil dishes, pizzas, pastas, pretty much just anything I feel like. Those Merchant Kitchen lentil things that have come out, they like save me on some late nights. They're like the little packet things. I'm not sponsored by them, but they're really good. And then like if I'm trying to be healthy, I'll probably have like frozen mango or fruit for dessert. If I don't really give a shit, I'll have some chocolate. So, yeah.
Okay. Don't know if there's any point me going through my meal plan because I eat so much food. Like we could be here all day. but Greg's vegan sausage rolls, they have been a savior over the last few weeks.
That surprises me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, they're not terrible for you.
I've not even tried them. Are you even a real vegan if you haven't tried
no,
them?
No, please me. That's
so good. And they're steak bakes. No, so I'm usually always rushing around on my feet constantly, like clients and travelling. So I try and meal prep where I can, but most of the time I do have to just like eat out because it can just trying to get enough calories because I train 5 days a week for about 3 hours each session, so it is quite long, so I do use up a lot of energy. So yeah, I eat a lot of food. It's pretty similar to you really, like I have my oats, I get all my nutrients in that way, but I also have quite a lot of I have some mock meats as well just because it helps bulk things out. I don't really actually have vegan protein shakes that much, purely because I used to, just because I like the taste of them, but now I don't really like the taste of many of them. So I sometimes just whack it in oats just to make sure that, yeah, just to give it some flavor. But yeah, I try and hit the amount of food that I need just to keep going each day, because I can really tell if my training is affected if I'm not eating enough. So yeah, mainly like oats, open burrito bowls, that kind of thing, like, you know, mix it up. But when I'm eating out, like in London, it's so easy. There's vegan options everywhere. So I generally tend to find something or other to eat. Obviously, when I'm prepping for comp, I have to be a lot more strict, and I tend to eat a lot more, more whole foods and get all that kind of stuff in.
Thank you very much. Another question I think that a lot of people are worried about is potentially things that vegans are lacking in their diet when you go plant-based. I know that my mum always says to me, B12 though. So stuff like that, like, in terms of like supplements, I know there is also obviously a lot of conflicting evidence. I don't necessarily believe there is one right answer either, but in terms of supplements, do you guys take any, or do you recommend people take any, or is there any ones to really watch out for?
In terms of supplements, like, yeah, I take creatine, I take vitamin B12, vitamin D, zinc, magnesium.
What's creatine?
Creatine, so so it's kind of, it's like a white powder that like your mum might mistake as drugs, but it's actually not. Basically, it's creatine. I believe you can't get it naturally anymore because it was from like the soil, but now that it's actually, people think that they can get it from animals, but I believe it's actually just
like popped
into them.
Your
body can produce it. But yeah, it's good, especially in terms of strength athletes or bodybuilders. It helps in like speed up the muscle growth process. It's also great because it absorbs water as well, so it basically makes your muscles more fuller. So yeah, I take creatine. It's like you don't need much each day. But what I think about supplements is like, you might as well take them just in case anyways. If you're not sure, you might as well just take it. There's so much research out there anyway in terms of vegans. Like, yeah, get your vitamin B12. I think most people should have it even if they aren't vegan anyway. And then vitamin D as well.
Yeah, so I think it depends on your goal. Like, obviously, if you're trying to be as healthy as possible and you're having all these whole foods, then the list of supplements would be quite minimal. But if you are a junk food vegan, then the list of supplements would be quite long. So I think the main thing is try and get everything from food and then look to supplements what you can't get from food or in high enough amounts. So B12 obviously is something that you should either take in a big dose once per week or in a smaller dose once every day. Vitamin D, when it's weather like this, or maybe just year round in London. But if there's enough sunshine, 20 minutes of that is fine. And then you've also got things like omega-3 from algae is worth taking. Some people don't need to, some people do. Again, it's just worth taking it, it's not worth the risk. And I guess the only other thing for health is if you're not having like a sprinkle of seaweed or like iodized salt on your food every now and then, maybe just look at your iodine levels. Because usually that's either from seafood or from vegetables grown near the ocean. And then if you're looking at performance, so those are the ones that I would take and I do take. Performance-wise, I add the protein shake just because I like having an easy absorbable protein straight afterwards. And for me, that is it. But if I was, like, let's say I really wanted to get big muscles, I'd probably add creatine in as well. And leucine, which is a amino acid.
Hello.
Welcome to the club.
Hi guys.
leucine, which is an amino acid, which is basically the only one that is probably worth paying attention to, because there's been quite a lot of studies that show that having about 5 grams of that is the same with having about 20 grams of protein post-workout. So that's something that if you're like, yeah, I want to get big and muscly, rather than focusing too much on the massive amounts of protein, you could just have 5 grams of leucine post-workout, and that would probably help a little bit more. Should we introduce our new member?
Hi, friend.
Hey, friend. Yeah, can we please get a warm round of applause for Tori, who's just arrived? This is Tori Rees. She is a representative of Viva Life and a pro competitive fitness model. And tell us more.
I first off want to apologise because apparently taking the environment seriously and deciding to do public transport instead of cars doesn't always work in your favour. So thank you everybody for having me. I'm Tori Ree, as you've said. I compete in fitness competitions. I am part of the Viva Life brand. I don't know if anybody's heard of them before or not, but we are the first to come up with home compostable protein packaging. I don't really know where we're at in this talk, so I'm not going to talk too much. I'll just pass over, and you'll hear me again in a minute.
We're talking about energy levels and supplements and things like that. If you want to talk about food as well, the UE.
Okay.
And also, how long have you been vegan?
Okay, so I went accidentally vegan. Probably a couple of years ago. So being in kind of like the fitness world, and especially with competing, it's very much ingrained that obviously to build muscles, you need to eat all the meat. So I grew up not really liking meat anyway, and then went down the line where I force fed myself for a few years just to try and build some muscles, because that's what I thought you had to do. And it got to a point where I had quite a bad relationship with food, because the further I kind of got into it, the more I realized, actually, this just really doesn't sit right with me, and it became like a force feeding thing. So it had a bit of a knock-on effect. I'm sorry, I'm just going into a whole random story here. So it had this kind of knock-on effect. So after a while, I realized, actually, I've got quite a bad relationship with food now. So let me just take a month out of worrying about what I look like or if I'm going to lose gains or whatever, and just quit meat for a month because I can't be bothered with it, and quit dairy to stop me from eating ice cream. That was God's honest truth. I ate too much ice cream. So I was like, let me stop that, because this is before vegan Ben and Jerry's and Magnum. So I went a month, but I swear to God, within 2 weeks from lifting, I had quite bad knee pain. Within 2 weeks, I could walk up the stairs and it stopped clicking. So I was like, hold up a minute. Like, I haven't changed anything else other than my diet. So this kind of continued, and the month had like passed, and I was like, well, to be honest, I'm just going to continue this for a while, because I feel so much better and my energy was better. The brain fog, you know, especially back then I was in the corporate world, so you'd sit in meetings, and I don't know if anybody of you get this or have experienced this when you just start zoning out. And I did get caught sleeping a couple of times, so wasn't really going in my favor. So anyway, I noticed a huge difference. I was like, okay, like, we'll continue. But I was definitely plant-based. I didn't call myself a vegan at that point because the ethical side hadn't really kicked in. So I'm still eating like cheese and stuff, and that's the hardest for the majority of people to kind of give that final boot. And then it was actually Viva Life, so I started taking their protein powder, just because I realized, actually, even if I'm not a vegan, plant-based protein was definitely a lot nicer on my stomach than whey. So I'd started working with Viva, and they're like, look, we want you to do Veganuary. This was like the start of 2018, I think, so 2 years ago this month. They were like, we want you to do it, and I just started prepping for a show. So I was like, oh, that means I'm going to have to do my prep as a vegan. Like, where do I get my protein from? So I told my coach at the time, and he's like, oh dear, you got me a challenge. And I did, but honestly, it was the best prep I ever had in my entire life. And I just never went back, because once I'd started prepping that way, there's no point in changing it. It was working. And yeah, continued from there, really. Ta-da!
Lovely, thank you very much. So another question I want to ask, I don't know if this is particularly relevant, but I think it is kind of fitness and health related, is fasting. Where you guys stand on that, whether or not you engage in it, and what your thoughts and recommendations are. I know that like I started fasting kind of intermittently maybe about like 4 or 5 months ago, and it like totally changed my relationship with food and with my body, and kind of everything just started making way more sense. So yeah, I'd be interested to see what you guys think and what you recommend.
I feel like I'll have a very different stance on fasting to maybe other people. just because, purely because, it's like, what's your reason for fasting? And I know I have a lot of friends who really thrive off fasting. But for me, as a strength athlete, it really is complete opposite. It's very detrimental. Not extremely, but it doesn't help my training at all. If I go into a training session having not eaten, I just feel weak, and trying to deadlift like 190 kilograms not eating is just not gonna work. I'm gonna feel like lightheaded, etc. But I do fast in, I guess you could call it fasting, like, so I do water loading and water cutting before a comp to make weight for competition. And during that time when you're water cutting, you can't eat or drink anything for about 16 hours. during that time, and I feel like shit, so I do not want to fast at any point. But it'll be interesting to see what other people do say about the fasting, because I have heard a lot of good things about it, and I know it does do wonders with other people. But where I am at in my sport, it isn't going to benefit me in any way, I don't feel like.
Yeah, I think you mentioned an important thing is the reason why you're doing it. A lot of people probably do it because they think they're going to lose weight, which in theory makes sense. You skip a meal and you would hopefully eat less calories and therefore create a calorie deficit and lose weight. But what can happen is they just eat too much food on those other periods of eating, and that can lead to disordered eating and other things. I would probably say that fasting is near the end of your priorities if you're trying to lose weight, not at the beginning. Like focus on decreasing total amount of calories, focus on whole foods, exercise, sleep, that kind of thing. My personal experience of fasting is probably just sleeping, like from, I guess, like 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. until the morning, it's just sleeping. I like breakfast too much. I've had people, gut doctors on my podcast, and ask these exact same questions. And I've said the research shows that if you're going to benefit for health reasons, it's actually better to fast kind of like from like have an early dinner and then fast the night before you sleep, wake up and then eat food, rather than the other way around, which I think is what has become more of the popular thing. Yeah, from a health point of view, there is those benefits. I think of having your cells to rest, letting your gut microbiome to rest. And I think there probably needs a bit more research for that. At the same time, there's obviously people that do very long water fasts, and I would recommend if you're gonna do that, talk to a doctor, be medically supervised if you're going to do anything longer than like 3 days, because I mean, food is supposed to like fuel us, make us feel happy, and if it's doing the opposite, I'm not sure a fast is going to help that. It might hurt that. So yeah, I would kind of address the reason why you want to fast and focus on that before you do the fast. Does that make sense?
I'm glad I've got someone with a technical piece before me. So yeah, for me, I've intermittent fasted for probably about 18 months or so. I normally have a fasting window of around 16 hours, and personally, I thrive off it. I found, again, from a gut point of view, it's been a lot easier for me with digestion, etc. Clarity and like brain and focus, that's been a lot sharper. And I just find it's easier for me to structure my days. The only time I actually stop it, which is funny because you say a lot of people do it to help them with a calorie deficit, to help them kind of end up just putting themselves into having bigger meals rather than spreading it through the day. But when I'm cutting, that's when I actually have to remove intermittent fasting, because all of a sudden it's too much stress on my body and it actually starts doing the complete and utter reverse. So I found when I was trying to like lose weight for my shows, I actually had to have a lot more regular but just smaller meals. And I think you're completely right, if it's a case of you've got a bad relationship with food and you're trying to just keep those big meals because it's like a mental thing, then address the mental thing. Don't go with intermittent fasting. That kind of fasting is great if you feel like you thrive off it from a health perspective. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend it from just trying to allow yourself to have bigger meals. And just dropping in there, I hadn't really done dry fasting, so I'd still always make sure that I'm hydrated during that period, because otherwise, yeah, I get really lightheaded. I've accidentally done it.
Thank you very much. So I'd like to kind of find out, for a lot of people that are doing veganism for the first time as well, what, when you've, I mean, obviously you kind of had a slightly different journey, but when you went plant-based, what resources are out there for people that want to, you know, still be really fit, potentially want to be competing, and also be plant-based?
These guys. It's a tough one. The only reason I'm going to say that is because I think I actually had this discussion today with the kind of influencer market at the moment. When you are first going into plant-based, it can be quite difficult when you start following true vegans, because it can feel like you're doing everything wrong, and it can get quite overwhelming, and it can be quite a stressful experience at first, because you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to change everything, and this is just too much and I can't do it and people are preaching at me and I don't know what to do. So I think it's a case of if you feel overwhelmed by anybody that you're following, then maybe just divert that. There are a lot of influencers out there who can help. I'm not trying to plug Vivo, but I'm going to plug Vivo. Even if you don't buy their products, their page is really informative. They've got groups on Facebook. There's a lot of like-minded people who are kind of doing this vegan stuff and just figuring it out. And I think in general, just talking to people, and it's not always just consuming, but actually just going and asking those questions, like there's no harm in it. And the majority of us, I don't know how many of you guys are even full vegans or plant-based or whatever. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. We're not scary. And I think at least probably 85-90% of vegans ate meat at some point. So everybody really does get it. Do you know what I mean? It's not a case if you just wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, we're good to go. Like, if you've been eating cheese every day, you can just stop, but it's not always simple. I just say ask.
So I think like what you said is find people that you can relate to. So if you're doing veganery because of the animal welfare side, which is the true reason, find people that have the same mindset and follow them so they can support you. If you're doing it for the plant-based performance thing, you want to do that side of things, find people that are doing it that way. And kind of like, even if you've got friends and family that are kind of going to put pressure on you because you are doing it, I would just not talk to them for that month, because like the number one reason why people give up the vegan diet is because of social pressure. So if you can surround yourself with people that are like-minded, then that's going to mean basically you're more likely to succeed. Whatever it is, if you want to be a millionaire, hang around with millionaires. It's the same thing. So if you are struggling with veganery, find friends that are vegans, hang out with them, go to restaurants with them and find new recipes. And it is a trial and error thing. You can't relearn your whole life's eating in 1 month. And I would be very surprised if anyone did. And whenever anybody asks me this question, I say, don't go cold tofurkey. Yeah? don't do it all in one thing. I mean, of course, if we're looking at like, you're gonna be a lifelong vegan, I would suggest first week, cut out red meat, okay? And this is purely from a gut microbiome perspective, because when you add in new foods, your gut's kind of like, what the hell is going on? And a lot of people will be like, oh, this vegan thing isn't for me. It's not for you, you just gave up too early, like too early. So cut out red meat first week, cut out red meat, chicken, fish, second week, and then add dairy, take that out, and then anything else. So by the fourth week, you're probably pretty much all plant-based, pretty much all vegan, and then you can kind of address the other things. Because when you take out red meat, you're probably gonna replace it with lentils. And if you're putting all these lentils in and you've never had lentils in your life, your body and whoever you live with isn't going to like you. So you just need to like take that step-by-step process. And if you make a mistake, that's fine. Like you said, everybody started eating meat. We live in a non-vegan world. People are going to put pressure on you. Focus on your reason why. Surround yourself with those people that can support you. Remove yourself from people that will bring you down. I mean, if people make you feel shit, I don't even know why you'd be hanging out with them in the first place. But that's a whole nother story. Be a little bit like, don't be soft. Like, don't just give up after the first try. I think a lot of people are, oh, I've tried to do it for a week, it's not for me. It's like, no, try a little bit harder.
Yeah, I agree. I also feel like be creative with it as well. Like, don't think that if you're going to go into it, be optimistic and really research for yourself as well. There is so much information out there, like not just through like Instagram and influencers, etc., but like Google. There is so much stuff. There's so many books as well. But just being in London is such a huge advantage as well. Like, I was really introduced into relationship with food through the vegan community in London. They have meetups, they have different things, and most of the people who run like vegan businesses, they will also support you. So it's like, really reach out to other people and don't be scared in reaching out to others, because everyone just wants everyone to like be happy and healthy. Also attending like veg fests, they'll have seminars and things like that you can attend, that will really give you a better insight into what you're wanting to do. But yeah, don't give up, keep with it, and you will make mistakes, or you might like have some meat here and there, but it's fine. Like, just take it step by step and in your own time as well, and be patient with yourself, because no one's perfect. And I see veganism as like, do what's practically possible for you, like, and obviously have those core reasons why you're doing it as well.
Thank you.
Lovely. So I am going to put it to the audience. So if I could get a hand up, this isn't actually going to reach, you might have to shout. If I could get a hand up for some questions. Really? Okay, fine. Go on then.
Stand up and get it going.
Come on then.
Stand on the bench. What do you recommend for breaking a fast? Because,
your favourite food.
Pizza.
The green grow.
Okay, for me personally, I've had the same thing every day for 18 months, and that's actually not a lie. Well, okay, maybe the odd occasion I've had something else because I've been away. But if I'm at home, I've eaten the same thing for the last 18 months, and it works beautifully for me, and it gets everything going in the right way because I have everything on my plate from a nutrient, vitamin, mineral, that kind of side. So I use Vivo. Plug in again. I have a scoop of Vivo, and I'll normally make like a smoothie bowl. So I'll get a banana in there, I'll get some frozen berries, I'll put plant-based omega-3s in there, some hemp seeds, blend it all up, bit of almond butter, some more frozen berries, some granola because that's my Krypton, and then I've got everything covered, I've got all my bases covered. But I think for me, apart from my granola, although it's homemade, I try to go for like a whole food kind of option. I wouldn't go for anything processed when I'm first kind of breaking my fast. I want something that my gut is easily gonna kind of deal with. Another thing, fruit is just always a great point, like watermelon, something like that, get you hydrated. But yeah, also make sure that you have drunk water whilst you've been fasting, or at least have that as the first thing before you eat any food.
I mean, I don't really fast, but my breakfast, like I said before, similar to yours, is just more about the whole oats. You're getting complex carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates, fats, protein, everything.
Well, yeah, your breakfast is breaking the fast, right? So, breakfast. So, yeah, I know, right? yeah, so I normally have something that's like easy. I would, if I was fasting, I count my sleep as a fast then, would be something that's easy digestible. So I have my oats and yeah, like granola, whatever, with almond butter and seeds, etc. So yeah, something that's easy digestible, and like have a glass of water as well, like stay hydrated.
Can I get another question, please? Yes. I mean, if it's just a general lifestyle thing, then I think it's quite easy to get an idea of kind of how much you're eating versus how much your expenditure is, right? And if you don't know this, then I'd recommend something like Chronometer or MyFitnessPal, and just tracking the general foods that you eat in a day, just so you have a rough idea. And then you're looking, I'm talking very basic by the way here, like if you wanted to go into more detail, I'd always advise getting a coach or a nutritionist. But yeah, like you're going to need to be burning more than you're taking in, but there's always that running that risk of don't starve yourself either, because then you're not going to be able to perform in the gym. So yeah, you would lose muscle mass if you're just going to starve yourself. That's really high level because it can get quite technical, and it does get technical, but.
Are you talking about like extreme levels, like keto diet versus like high carb versus low carb kind of levels, or just within a certain range? Yeah, I think with my clients, I would get them to focus on one of those goals that you said first. So if the most important thing out of those two for you was to lose fat first, then I'd focus on that and maintain the muscle. So cycle it, because that will happen faster and it'll keep you more motivated because you actually see results. And then once you've dropped your fat, focus on the muscle side of things, because again, that will happen faster, you'll see results. Back to the carbohydrates, like when you are cutting, you do need to bring your protein up a little bit to maintain the muscle that you've got. But if you do completely cut carbohydrates, then your muscle get broken down, and then that will be used for energy, which is the opposite of what you want. So carbohydrates are important. There is some studies that kind of say like a ratio of fat to carbohydrates doesn't matter as much. Like I would always prioritize the calories that you're having. Figure that out first, because that's easier. And then if you've nailed that, then go down that other road. Because most people will be like, oh, a calorie deficit doesn't work. It's like, it does work. You probably just haven't found it for you. And when I say found it for you, although those apps that you mentioned are great, there's still a margin of error of them. And just because you're the same weight as your friend and you're eating relatively the same amount of food doesn't mean that that's the same calorie deficit. The way your body works, your gut works, is slightly different. So you may just need to tinker a few things. If you know that you're losing weight, then that means you're in a calorie deficit. So almost remember what you're doing and remember that for next time you decide you want to lose weight. And the opposite is true as well, calorie surplus, muscle gain, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's been mainly covered, but I think carbs have like a really bad rep in the fitness industry, I find, and it's not true at all that you need to just completely eradicate all carbs. It's really, yeah, down to energy balance, to be honest, but when I'm prepping for a comp and obviously I need to slightly lose weight, I will reduce my carbs slightly just because it holds water more and like I don't want to be holding as much water retention. And yeah, it comes down to just water weight at the end of the day. But yeah, it would just be, it's personalized for each person, right? So you just need to track yourself and see what your total daily expenditure is and then go from there and of course run it into what your goals are.
Thank you very much. Who is next? Okay, we're going to go over here first. So the tofu soya question.
I've been having it for a long time. I haven't a little bit. So the main thing with soy products is make sure they are not genetically modified, which most of them aren't. Maybe in America you might get some cheap shit that is. Most of the genetically modified crop is fed to animals and live feed, so you probably should be more worried about it that way. If you're asking more about like the estrogen, the phytoestrogen stuff, is that yeah? So phytoestrogen is about 1,000 times weaker than the form that you have and I have in my body. Yes, males have it in small amounts as well. And it's supposed to be more beneficial because it actually blocks the binding of, like, say, the estrogen in dairy products. So it's supposed to kind of stop the negative effects of having too much estrogen in your body, because it's so much weaker, but it still takes the same parking spot. If you have, obviously, an intolerance, if you have a thyroid condition, then you do need to kind of avoid it. But for most people, as long as it's in its whole form, it's pretty good for you. There are studies that have shown negative effects. They are usually done with soy isolate, which is basically like the whey protein version of soy stuff. So they basically just take all the fiber out, all the good stuff out, and give you that. So as long as it's from tofu, tempeh, miso, that kind of stuff, and you do not have any intolerances, then I'd say you're good to go.
I also feel like too much of anything is going to have a slightly negative effect in terms of like, if you purely just eat soy as your main form, then it's not going to be great. Like just having an all-round mix of everything, yeah, like a balance, yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
So my question kind of leads on from the last one about like the protein thing. So in terms of like protein absorption, is there like any differential between like natural sources of protein like lentils, nuts, seeds, whatever they be, versus like processed sources of protein like seitan and protein?
basically, is there a different absorption for the different proteins available? So like tempeh, lentils, all that stuff.
That's a hard question. I'm going to go with, if you... So basically you're asking, if you're having like a processed form of protein, is that going to be slower absorbed or just differently absorbed from a whole food version? Yeah. Yeah, so before I talked about leucine, which is an amino acid, imagine that as kind of like the conductor of a train station. It's going to tell you, or you tell your body where to put the amino acids that you need. So whatever is kind of like lacking in your body, or let's say you've just done a workout, you might need more of that amino acid or whatever, or they might kind of like take apart some of the non-essential amino acids and build others, then leucine is going to tell you which ones you need. If that isn't an easier absorbed form, so let's say the protein powder that I have, not Vivo Life, has got a complete protein profile in and it's easily digested, I would assume that that is going to be absorbed faster because it's already in its most broken down form. Whereas if you are having it from nuts, for example, like, you know how you have to have activated almonds that are easily absorbed. If you just had nuts, then your body would need to break down a little bit more of that, so it'd be a slower process. So I guess relating back to your question, if it is like a protein powder, it is probably going to be absorbed faster versus whole food, but that is just looking at a very small glimpse of like overall health. Like, of course, if you're having more whole foods, you're getting other things like fiber, that kind of thing. So that's pretty much the reason why I have a complete protein powder straight after a workout, just because it's easier to get it in. But I don't think you need to completely like just think, I'm going to have Satan, I'm going to have this just for that reason, because your body's pretty amazing at what it does, and it will, you know, direct resources when it needs them.
I don't want to say anything.
Lovely, thank you. Yeah. You know, I recently actually got mine done. I had my bloods done not that long ago. I've been vegan for like 4 years now. And I think the average iron level is like 12. And I had 14. And I am not someone that pays attention to what I'm eating, I've got to be honest. And for me, it was like, wow. So like, I eat a lot of like green stuff, like a lot of like vegetable heavy. So it was really surprised me. And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, I'm vegan, by the way. Did you know? So yeah.
I'm going to say I am completely the same. It was something actually that I was a little bit more aware of when I was eating meat, because I didn't really eat a lot of red meat. So I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to be low in it. And I did used to have a lot more tired episodes and napping, which I have a lot less of now. And I recently got my bloods done, and yeah, again, I was absolutely fine. But it is, I think, making sure that you are having more of like a whole food diet, and not just switching over and going vegan and swapping it from chicken nuggets to chicken nuggets.
Sounds like a diss.
So every day, treat yourself. But yeah, so it's making sure that you do get in your leafy greens and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, and I also think, I really do believe listening to your body as well. Like, I feel like, especially as women, when we come on our periods, like, I really crave dark chocolate. So I do get like high percentage dark chocolate, because that is obviously really good for iron. And yeah, getting in dark leafy greens, looking at what contains iron, and really having a mix of different things will also help that absorption. But yeah, listening to your body as well, but making sure that each meal that that you're getting enough of everything.
So yeah, iron, obviously hem iron versus non-hem iron. Hem iron is found in animal products, it's more absorbable. When you shift from a plant or to a plant-based diet, it's kind of a natural concern to have. But yeah, you can easily get enough. Absorption rates, if you have a like a problem with absorbing iron. It's not going to matter what kind of diet you choose. And if you do need to have a supplement, then do talk to a doctor about it, because unlike some of the other supplements out there, iron is quite easily absorbed from a supplement, and you can have too much, and the side effects are just as bad as not having enough. So yeah, look at the absorption rates. If you're just going to get it from natural plant-based foods, have it with vitamin C, increases absorption, and have it without oxalates, so tea, coffee, that kind of stuff, will decrease absorption. So leafy greens, I think tofu as well, yeah, and have more when you're menstruating as well.
Have you got any more questions? Yes, at the far back. Oh. Yes, yes. You can fight. Choose. Ladies first, come on. Well, we live in an Eagle Society. Oh.
So I find it hard to trust sources of information. So I was wondering if any of you guys have got like either organisations, charities, recipes, any websites, you know, you're like, I can trust them. I know I can, and I know I can point people in that direction, because you must all get us all the time, like, can you help me like transition my diet? I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, it is very tough, because even like I've been on numerous different courses, and even then they're still telling you that like dairy is great for you, etc. And it is really difficult. Like, I really looked into it when my dad got cancer, because they gave us basically a booklet on what he should eat, and a lot of it was high fat, like butters and cheese and yogurts, and I was like, what the fuck, like, this is crazy. So I did start doing a lot more research when he got cancer. It's really difficult, because even vegan organizations that give nutritional help, they can cherry pick studies, so it can be quite difficult. I've found Dr. Greger, he was quite good, but then he's also been known to, he could cherry pick stuff, so you're never 100% sure who's good. So I say take bits from each like source that you see, and then compare it to different sources. So it's really doing a mix of research. I found, I don't know if the others of you guys have found like one particular thing that gives you all the information, but yeah, having a look at different things and actually looking at studies yourself on different things, so that there's research all out there. So have a look at that. But I found, yeah, I forgot what his actual organization is called. Do you remember?
Nutritionfacts.org,
that one. It's got quite a lot of information on there.
So I'm like a member of a institute, I think it's called the Nutrition Institute for Medical Professionals, and I'm not a medical professional, anyone can join it, but that's a good place to get all the latest science from. But like Sophia said, there's so many studies out there, and whether you are talking about meat and dairy ones, or even just like pro plant-based ones, it is all about trying to bring all of the information together, and then kind of, in a way, using common sense, which I know is hard to use when it comes to studies, but think about things like, what did they compare those things to in that study? If they compare, I don't know, eggs to butter, of course eggs are gonna be healthier. But if you compare eggs to a plant-based diet, what's gonna come out? So it's making look at all that stuff together, and then also finding people that you can trust. Even like, I do find people on Instagram that are like actual doctors that will come out and kind of put their points into things and say, hey, this is a bit stupid, because what's the point of focusing on protein if you're having so much saturated fat that you're going to die? You know, like just saying like, oh, I'm going to have 200 grams of protein from an animal product, I'm also going to get so much saturated fat and zero fiber. Although that might show you're gonna get bigger muscles, you're probably gonna die sooner. So like, think of the big picture. Like, the big picture, if your goal is health, which it probably should be for everybody here, like, it should be like, think of it from that perspective. it's no good of like being able to run super fast if you're dead.
It's true. I'm not going to add any more on those points because I think they're both completely valid and I would repeat exactly what they said. So I'm just going to take a slightly different stance on it as well, because I think, like you say, that every single argument that anybody has, there's a study for it, right? And who are we to say that's wrong? Because you could get a trustworthy vegan study and you're going to get something that counteracts it, which comes with just as much validity. So for me, what I've found is the best way for people to be engaged and for people to truly like get it is through storytelling. It's through people who have had their own experiences, because you can't get more factual and more truth than that. So for me, I actually met a guy in LA a couple of years ago who had AIDS, and he was told he had like 2.5-3 months left to live. And this was just before I met him, in all fairness. This is probably about 8 months prior. But obviously there's photos of him on his deathbed. My friends all knew him, like they were there, they experienced the prognosis. And he actually went down to Honduras to do the Dr. Sebi kind of retreat. The dude's still alive. He hasn't got AIDS anymore. And this isn't a joke. Like, I've seen the papers, because I've been around his house, I've seen the papers, I've seen the prognosis, I've spoken to his friends. The guy then switched up. I mean, it's not as simple as, yeah, okay, like, go and change your diet and you live forever, but that, like, food is thy medicine. It's a real thing. So for me, I was able to witness this guy as the epitome of health. I swear to God, his skin is almost golden. he does live in LA, so it helps. But yeah, like, witnessing those transformations, seeing people who do have kind of like these health issues and they adopt a plant-based diet and their lives are transforming, I think you can't get more kind of solid studies than that. You see it with your own eyes. So yeah, that's kind of my stance and my argument with people. Not argument, discussion.
I think we've got time for one more question. Lovely. Oh yeah, actually, no, sorry, we're going to two. Jeremy, please. Ooh, fuel.
Whole food all the way, that's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I mean, if it fills a gap because you're in a rush, sure. But I think you should base your diet on whole foods. Our body was designed to consume whole foods. You need to chew things. That's going to help you create saliva. It's going to tell your stomach that you're ready to digest things. Yeah, it's like a fuller food, I suppose. Might make it easier to compete because it's like all macro counted, but I would not live off the stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't, if I want to get my calories in, I don't really want to drink them. I'd rather just eat it. But yeah, if you're obviously in a rush, it can be like for convenience, it's good. It's got all that you need in it, but I would rather still just meal prep my food and actually get the actual food itself rather than, yeah. It's like blending a roast dinner or something. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me.
The only time I do kind of get it is from like a bulking perspective. So sometimes it is a case of you're like, I actually physically don't want to eat any more food. Especially like I know a lot of bodybuilders and they're eating a lot of calories and they don't want to do it. So something like that would be convenient. But like if I was going to drink something, okay, I'd get my protein, but then I'd be getting my putting my own fats and carbs in. So I like to trust my sources. I know, like to know that like they're organic, for example. I don't know about Huel because obviously I don't use it. That wouldn't quite be right. But yeah, like for me, I like to just mix things up and also like to change it, like to get different nutrients and stuff. Because I'm a basic eater. I am a basic bitch when it comes to my food. So I do have to keep an eye on kind of like my nutrients and minerals because sometimes I can find that I neglect areas. Although I eat a very healthy diet, I can neglect certain bits. So having the ability to like switch things up and add things in, take things out, I think is really important.
Last question. I'm gonna be hosting.
You can come back. So that's how much should you focus on the quality of the food?
Okay. I think it is important, quality of food. It can be difficult because in terms of the organic versus non-organic, I've heard stories about organic not necessarily being great either. So yeah, I've heard that like some places they say they're organic, but there's actually like rules around it being organic. I don't know how true it is. But I do try and get organic when I can anyway, because it's better than obviously not. In terms of like fruit and veg, most of mine are actually frozen, just because I tend to get, I've heard that it's better getting frozen veg, and especially like fruits from abroad that are frozen, just because they tend to lose their quality during like the transport, etc. But when I can, I try and get local stuff as well. But I do think the quality is important, but it can be also very difficult to tell the difference between them.
Yeah, I think you prioritize the things that you can. So I would champion fresh and frozen. And then again, if you can find fresh or frozen organic stuff, if you want to, there's definitely not going to be any harm from doing it. But I also think that just having a whole food plant-based diet is more important than just trying to have partly organic food. And if you're getting like oranges and bananas and they're saying that they're organic, you probably don't need to worry about that stuff, because you're going to peel the skin off anyway. And the stuff inside is not really going to be affected by the pesticides and herbicides and stuff like that. So yeah, I would say it's not paramount, but do it if you can afford to and you want to.
I'm just going to put a spanner in the works. because yeah, I would definitely push for kind of going for the local stuff more than anything, because just from kind of an environmental side, what is my biggest bugbear with the majority of more vegetables that you get anyway that are organic is they come in coloured plastic that you can't recycle. And it drives me mad, because you're paying more for these products in the first place, and then it's kind of, you're still impacting the environment. So okay, yeah, maybe from a health point of view you might get a slight difference, but then my carbon footprint is so much bigger, and I'm not going to lie, I'm going to stress about that, and that's going to have a negative impact on my health. So it's not really working out. So I think if you can kind of like source stuff locally, support local businesses in the first place, I think is a huge thing. But obviously you're going to not have the transport kind of issues. You're not going to be dealing with the plastic problem. And yeah, it's just supporting local businesses. So that would be my push towards anything else. And you know kind of the quality of the soil and stuff, because you can go and see it and talk to the farmers.
Yeah, and I also think getting, there's these boxes where you can get like wonky veg and stuff. What was it? Yeah, I think that's great as well, because, and it also forces you to like cook more as well, for like fresh fruit and veg, which I think is great.
Brilliant. Well, thank you everybody for coming. It's been an absolute pleasure. Grab some food if you haven't already. I think these guys might be lurking around a bit if you have any further questions. Our next talk is next March. Just wait, I know you're excited. Our next talk is on the 12th of February, and it's all about vegan influencers and doing it for the gram, basically. So thank you so much for coming. Hope you've had a wonderful evening, and see you soon.